The proportion of women and children among the new arrivals has actually increased over the past couple of months. So it's now upwards of about 52% women and children of people who are arriving every day, which is really quite an astounding figure when you think about it. And I think that that really runs counter to what in fact is a myth that the refugees and migrants are all men. A lot of people believe that, but that's obviously not the case. That's not what we're seeing every day.
And what's it like to be a woman migrant in this situation?
It's challenging, I think, especially for mothers, because, you know, we see a lot of single mothers traveling without their husbands or on their own and looking after kids by themselves, and that's obviously quite difficult for them. One particularly vulnerable group that we've seen are pregnant mothers, you know, women who are quite late along the sort of the stages of pregnancy. Because the journey is so difficult and so tiring, we are seeing a number of pregnant women who are coming in some sort of distress. I have met a number of mothers who unfortunately have lost babies along the way, so it's really challenging for them.
And are those expecting mothers getting the support they need?
The humanitarian community is doing as much as we can. The difficulty is that people do not want to stop. They want to keep moving. They don't want to be held back because they're fearful that if they're stuck somewhere, then they'll be sent back to the countries from which they came. And I think that in some situations, people are in fact putting their health at risk because they're not staying long enough to get the support that they need, which is a real concern.
Is it easier to find a final destination country for a woman and children if she's not traveling with a man?
Couldn't really speak to that. I mean, certainly what seems to happen definitely in transit and in destination countries is that women and children and families are prioritized in terms of the speed at which they're kind of brought through the official processes and so on. They're identified often as requiring sort of additional support, which I think is good and ultimately is to their benefit.
What is UNICEF doing to make sure women and children stay safe while in transit?
We're establishing services sort of along the so-called Balkan route, especially at the border crossings where people tend to stay for a longer period of time, sometimes a few hours, sometimes overnight. We have what we call child-friendly spaces, which are warm and safe areas where mothers and children can rest, women can breastfeed in privacy. And children can play and they have the opportunity to be kids again. If people are forced to stay overnight, then it's also a safe place where families can sleep.
Many children have not been to school for several years. How much of a long-term concern is that?
It's massive because ultimately we're talking about potential for a lost generation, really. I mean, when you're looking at countries such as Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan, these are potentially the future leaders of those countries. And they haven't been in a proper learning environment in some cases upwards of 3-4 years, which is incredibly detrimental to their future development. So we're very concerned. And that's why we're working quite closely with some of the destination countries to make sure that these children have equitable access to education as quickly as possible.